Praise be to our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. This evening, we receive enlightenment in our hearts as taught in prayer. We walk in depths of prayer. We walk in dimensions of prayer as we behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. All right, Matthew 28, Adventures in Prayer, or Prayer Adventures. Matthew's Gospel 28. Yep. And then he said to them, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the authority he's talking about there is the authority to save, the authority to teach and raise men for the gospel. He says, then go therefore, ye therefore, and teach all nations, is where you have the word to raise disciples of all nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe what things soever I commanded you, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, you know, we said prayer is by precept, teaching, and then by example. So the word discipleship is an eyewitness word. What do I mean by that? It's what you see. You must see. Discipleship is never assumed, it's seen. In other words, the learning is virtual, literal, the person is learning it. Now, what are the things that should be learned? So, in other words, you don't just believe the gospel alone, you now learn the faith. You believe, you're saved, then you now learn by precept and also by example. I must have said this on Sunday, but I'm saying it actually, that there are different kinds of meetings, for example, that take place in church, in local churches, in the local church. And one of them, the primary one, is a teaching meeting. Okay? Now, on the teaching meeting, we now have what we call the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. So, each church should have a time of prayer. Not persons who pray, no, a time of prayer. Acts 3:1. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray in the hour of prayer. And so, when you see all the instructions given to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Verse 25, pray for us. Colossians 4:2, the excelling prayer, continue the same with thanksgiving. Pray for us that the door of God shall be open to us. Colossians 4:2 and 3. Alright. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Those are instructions, yes, to the believer, but then they are instructions that show you the emphasis of the church. Romans 12:12. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. They are instructions. It's overwhelming, which means that in the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the church, is the instruction to pray. So, one of the things we learn as disciples of Christ, in that sense, or disciples of the gospel, students of the gospel, is that we learn to pray. Now, don't forget, we learn the art of prayer, and we're also instructed to pray. It's not a suggestion. We learn to pray, and we're also instructed to pray. So there's a learning to it. Tell me there's a learning to it. Tell me there's a learning to it. You learn to pray. No, you are instructed to pray. Don't forget that. Then you also learn to pray. Because we're not just to go and do it. No, we are taught how it's done. We learn to pray. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. is Paul. And he says in verse 21, I'll start from 20. But you have not so learned Christ. The word there is word mantado. It's a synonymous word with discipleship, right? You have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, come on. What else? And have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. So there is a learning. A learning. You know the way you went to the university, the College of Education, or the Polytechnic, or any school whatsoever, and you went there to learn a discipline. You learned it. And so when you talk with information. What I would call, as a younger person, I'll say relaxing fever. Relaxing fever is the one that shows up. Is it in the morning? I think it's, no. When does it relax? In the evening? You don't know relaxing fever? Comes back in the evening. In the morning, you feel strong. In the afternoon, you start to manifest more, small. But then the medical doctor will laugh at you. And then what he will say or she will say will be very different. That's a learning. Of course, my own relaxing fever is also a learning by experience. So you see, the point is, the way you learn things and become an expert, literally, is the way you learn the faith. I think we have a teaching like that. Huh? You have a teaching like that? Learning the faith? We have a teaching like that, yeah. Learning the faith. You learn the faith. You learn the practice of the faith. Okay? And one of the things we learn in the faith is prayer. It's prayer. You learn to pray. Some of us believe that prayer is just that thing you... Okay, you grew up learning prayer as a bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake, Lord Jesus, man of Satan. Oh, some have food, but cannot eat, some can eat, but have no food. We have food and we can eat, glory be to thee, oh Lord, amen. In your face, what you are mocking people. You know, that thing has even graduated into how people grew up. So many people have died. They wanted to be here today. But Father, thank you for keeping me alive. How is that praiseworthy? You know, some of us have grown like that. Then we grew up to asking for things. We asking for things. So you grew up that way, that when there's a problem, prayer is that emergency fire extinguisher. When I was younger, I had this culture of going to pray early in the morning. So I would get out of the house 1 or 2 a.m. be back. Then, I think I said it last week, then my dad once then asked me the question, because he got a hold of me one early morning. He said, what is troubling you? He couldn't fathom how a teenager will be going out to pray in the morning. What is troubling you? How many things have you committed? I know you. What are you 3 hours to do what? And his own father, the name known of his dad, my grandfather actually, all over Ijebu land was Babaladra. And Babaladra's son, Babaladra means somebody who prays. His son is asking me. That's his name. In fact, we don't even call my grandfather grandpa. We call him Baba Ladra. That's the name. So he's calling his father the man of prayer, the father of prayer, actually. And he thinks the grandson has a problem. Isn't that? I think the problem is in the middle. But then he found out that later. But so, you know, why I said that is, you can grow up thinking you know prayer, but you need to learn prayer. Some people learn prayer because of life difficulties. I don't think they've learned prayer yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was younger, a man called me. He said, "You don't know what you have found at a young age. You have met Jesus. Where no problems that are risen for you. You just met him like that." He said, "Keep it all." I didn't understand what he was saying. Until years later, I fully understood the epignosis of that statement. No problem drove you. Hallelujah. That's sincere, pure devotion. So sometimes, that's by the way, sometimes you just need to know that prayer is learned. You learn it. You learn worship. Some guys don't like the idea where we teach them worship. We can praise God anyhow. We can praise God anyhow. How can you praise God anyhow? We can, yes. Yes. You learn it. So you learn prayer. Say, we learn prayer. By precept and by example. Go back to Luke 22. We were there last week. We saw Jesus pray. Luke 22. Because Hebrews 5, verse 7, says that in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5, 7, says, in the days of his flesh, I had this series I taught years ago, with Christ in the school of prayer. Have I taught it again? No. Have I? No. With Christ in the school of prayer, where we learn how Jesus prayed. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong what? How do you cry? What have I cried before? How do you cry? You cry. Not tears of joy when somebody brings out a ring for you at the mall. Hallelujah, you will honor me this way. No, not that kind of tears. But he's crying. And then the Bible says with strong cry. You know strong crying? Have you seen someone cry strongly before? I would have loved to bring a kid here to cry for you. Not tears. They're saying, "What happened? Why are you crying?" Say, "No, nothing, nothing." That's not it. This one you go, crying. And they can't be crying without tears. Some people cry without tears. Some guys are experts. There's a woman like that. She went for a burial ceremony. He's crying. Yeah, baby. You know? And then my friend was serving the drink and gave her a coke. He's important. Thank you, my son. He's important. After people cry during funeral, they still go for the reception. Hardly do people go back home. You know, in Africa we can react here. How do I do it again? he's strong crying and tears. You know, that's praying. He's praying and his eyes are full of tears. Hallelujah. The adventures in prayer. Remember reading a book by Ian Mount, Power Through Prayer. He said, he that hasn't cried in prayer for souls does not have a body for souls. I began to ask myself, have I ever cried in prayer for souls? You know, that's a strong word. Because you see that Jesus wasn't crying because he was about to lose his job. Or a lecturer threatened you that you will fail. Then he went to pray about you. No, that one you can cry. Or they served you demolition notice. And you want the hand of God to come upon them. You will be crying in anger. No! Visit their household with fire. And you are crying. They are the one crying, though. He wasn't doing that. He was praying for the church. With tears. Remember, in Luke 22, verse 44, we saw it last week, where this adventure, from the adventure. You know, yesterday I gave you an illustration, remember? And I said, if somebody comes in, you know, Paul says that if we are prophesying, or if we are speaking in tongues, and somebody comes in, and he says, you are mad. I would say, who is that person? No, some guys can come into a prayer meeting and see everybody's crying. It's very possible. And everybody's shouting. And they look around and feel, ah. And sometimes I know when that goes on, for example, your nice hairstyle will look nice after all. Amen. Right? I don't think they had that kind of time. The time of Jesus, because they didn't have a wave on. Amen. You know, and the whole thing is, and you see somebody with makeup with tears. Because some people can be crying and watching out for their makeup. But if it's an adventure in prayer, you forget the makeup. Right? And then you come in. Maybe you are used to sales community with the teaching service. You love, I love the word. Then you come into the prayer meeting. Prayer rally. You know, you go back to the signboard again. Making your life count. This one is not counting, this is multiplying. You go back, what's going on here? People pray. Praying? This is not prayer, this is crying. He is an unlearned person. So we teach him. Hallelujah. There's Jesus. He's crying. It's an adventure. Something is an adventure. In prayer. Luke 22. You there? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So, I was told by some people, I think it was Andrew Murray who said this, I may be wrong, that they did a discovery that this must be such pain and depression on his heart. I may be wrong, but I think that's what I read. In other words, this was how much Jesus carried the pain in prayer. And the word agony is the word agony, I showed you last week. It's a conflict. Conflict. Like you're wrestling through something. Conflict. You're battling through something. And so, sometimes you exhibit that battle in the way you will talk. You're battling through something. And you're walking through it. Battling through it. The word agony, used by Paul in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight. It's a fight. Don't say it's a fight. So fighting is an adventure in prayer. A fight. Agony. Look at Philippians 1:30. Paul calls it conflict, or the King James calls it conflict. Philippians 1:30. A conflict. Hallelujah. Having the same conflict you saw in me and now here to be in me. Conflict. Praise the Lord. A fight. Now that's how you will feel even emotionally. That you're fighting something. If you want to see a minister who is truly in the ministry, for no selfish reason, you see a minister who prays with tears. Who prays. And he's having battles. Says community church is not a product, of good teaching. No. It's a product of praying. A whole lot of praying. Years ago, and this is for some of you, years ago, we had this issue in our church in Ibadan there, and virtually everybody left the church. You know what I did? I remember what works all the time is to pray. And so I began to fast and pray. And I had night and 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 night. Because I know that. Night. I could do a whole week vigil. And some of those times you have nothing you are really praying about. Not like you are fighting anybody. But you are just exploring the possibilities of prayer. Exploring it. Night and night. There's Jesus. He's having a conflict. A conflict. Hallelujah. Because what happens in that place of prayer is that you now, as it were, express the spirit's emotion. The spirit's emotion. Which is to identify, listen carefully, to identify with your prayer subject. See, I identify with my prayer subject. So you begin to identify. This is not a formula, but sometimes when I'm praying, I know when I'm praying about very strong idol presence. I'm used to a particular way. I just know it's an idol presence. Sometimes I know this is religious prayer. And then you begin to pray. How many of you know sometimes you're praying and then your tone just changes almost like you didn't control it? Who has seen that before? You should have. You plan to just pray and you just, then suddenly your voice is raised. Who's seen that before? Just pray! Ah! What's going on? It's as though you got into a territory and you didn't actually. You just raised the tempo and you just, what's going on? Hallelujah. What happened there is that you got into the spirit's emotion. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 9. Glory to God. Are you there? It's not every prayer meeting that ends with glory. No. I've seen people, now, I used to call it something else before, but I don't say that because I have more light now. We used to call it, you kill the burden. And I've seen people in prayer meetings, literally, by the flesh, lift a burden of prayer because they wanted to end quickly. Glory! Some guys are so quick, they want to give a prophecy. No! This is not prophesying time, this is praying time. Hallelujah. Are you here? Spray time! So they're, whoo, whoo. Because they're lazy, they want to hear the prayer. And I says, and I see. The Lord is saying, my hand is upon this. I got pressure! Don't pray and stop that. Don't pray. This is prophesy without ceasing. Say pray. Pray. He put it before prophecy. Pray. Pray. I see people, they just yank it off. So say, I have a note of victory. It's not just note. It's coin. Pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you've had times you wanted to sleep, you're so tired, and you sense you have to pray. 94. I was like that. And I got up and I said, I have to pray. I first lay on the sofa and I sit in the room there and I just said, gosh, you mean I have to pray this prayer? I have to pray. Hallelujah. In fact, what was in my case was I just read a book by Rehad Bonnke on intercession. I think The Gun or something. I forgot the title. The Weapon of Evangelism. So I began to pray. And as I got to that point, I took my prayer now seriously. My friend, the mom, I was not aware what was going on. So I began to pray. And I began to see her. But you know the point? That wasn't the first hour. It wasn't the second hour. It wasn't the third hour. I began to see her. Wow. As I saw her, I now intensified my prayer. The very next day I went to town. I said, this happened to your mom? I said, how did you know? The last night, when I was praying, I saw. Praise the Lord. See? What if I slept? Well, I don't know. It's good that I didn't sleep. You may never know the consequences of your disobedience. Alright? But the point is, what if I slept? There are chances and opportunities that some of us have ruined because we felt we're too tired, we're too busy, and stuff like that. What if I said? I don't know. God probably will give to somebody else. And the person will do the praying. Because God will do nothing in the earth except we pray. What if I said? What if I decided to watch movies? What if I decided to, you know, do something else? You know? So, there are times like that. It's the Spirit's emotion that are expressed in the place of prayer. Look at Matthew 9. Are you there? That's Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I have ceaseless adventures in the place of prayer. I love that word, ceaseless adventures. Not just, oh, you know, someone have this one time experience. Ah! One day like that. No, it's not one day like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you had times that you have finished praying in your devotion, your normal routine, and you just sense, I should pray more. You must send that before. Right? I should pray more. You know why? Because you should pray more. That's all. You should pray more. So they pray more. Hallelujah. There's nothing, hear this word, there's nothing that requires prayer like preaching the gospel. And there's nothing that can disturb prayer like preaching the gospel. Nothing that requires prayer like that. And there's nothing that can also disturb it like preaching. Because you can get so satisfied with speaking to men and ignore speaking with God. You must ensure that doesn't happen. Are you still there? Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion. He was moved with compassion. Here, this is what I'm going to show you something in a moment. He was moved with compassion. Now, the word moved with compassion here is also an active word. It's the word, I will just spell it because it twists the mouth. S-P-L-A-G-C-H-N-O-Z-O-M-A-I. You see, that's why I can't spell it. S-P-L-A-G-C-H-N-O-Z-O-M-A-I. It means that everything in you together were held. Everything. So, in literal terms, it means your kidney, your stomach, your heart, they were all just wrenched together. That's how it is literally. So the word move with compassion here is an idiom. It's an idiom for you. Your entire being is gravitated towards something. Now, I remember how TJ taught me this years ago. Now, TJ is my friend, late now. He said this, and it blessed me. He said there are two ways you can get wordings to pray. And he taught it from the word. He said the first is you are led to pray. Just like we're saying. You sense in your heart to pray. He said, but sometimes open your eyes can catch a body for you. That's how he taught it. He said, if you just open your eyes, you will see the reason to pray. Hallelujah. said, hallelujah. One time we went to a place in Ghana, 95. And as we got to that village, they had, in the midst of the town, they had a male sex organ, private part, erected. So they would come every month to have sex in the open place. I said, tell them, said, they will come and stay there in the open place, one far region, in the Upper Volta region. If you don't catch body, you just say, things are really bad, though. Hey! You just go, and thank God, I'm grateful to God that my generation, I'm a young person, but my generation is not the social media generation. I believe we would have lost a whole lot of initiative because of the social media. I can imagine if those kind of things we saw and said, openly, and they said it's a festival. You just go on social media, pam pam, you know, the first thing is you take picture. Share. Strange things are happening. You know? Because I remember how I was taught to preach. I was told, for example, that if you want to lead a 3 hours prayer meeting, that's how I was brought up. You pray the 3 hours first. Don't get scared. Before you pray. I think we can get, we used to do that, huh? We used to do that? Huh? We should do it again. What do you say? Let's do it again. We should do that before. You pray the prayer first. Then you go and lead the prayer. Amen. By precept and by example. Hallelujah. You know? So as we saw that thing, Bro Frank just held my hand. He said, bro, and we began to pray. He was moved with compassion. So if you don't get burdened, this is how Jesus taught it. He said, even if you don't have burden from the Holy Ghost, go to where people stay and get the body. It's true. Just go out and get the body. You will get the body. Open your eyes. You hear about gays, homosexuals, idol worship, atheists. That is a body giver. You see it immediately. You delve into that adventure. Hallelujah. Say we can handle this one. Glory to God. A man by the name of Father Nash and John Hyde precisely. He would go before Charles Finney. Charles G. Finney was one of the revivalists of the 19th century. He had such utmost records that sometimes you go to a town or village and everybody there will be born again. Everybody. The whole town. Remember one time that was it John Wesley or so, one of them? That 100 years after he had visited a village, somebody went to that village to go and buy alcohol. And they said, they don't sell alcohol here. He said 100 years ago, an evangelist came here. He preached the gospel. Ever since then, nobody could sell liquor. That's some resolve. Hallelujah. I said, that's some resolve. Hallelujah. I said, that's some resolve. I said, that's some resolve. When I hear things like that, I go, wow, my God, we're doing nothing yet. That's some resolve. You know, it's still possible today. Why? They said, the man, John Hyde, will have gone ahead weeks and months, and he is going to pray. And he will take the prayer list. He will have a list of all the sinners in the town, with the most cruel of them on number one. So I'm going to pray through. The man was hired, he once hired a place to stay. And the man, the landlord who come in and knock, he's hearing him cry, oh God. He felt the guy was sick. He came back again. This is the second day he hasn't eaten. So he passed food in there. By the fourth day he came back, the food was there. The man was praying. Hallelujah. What an adventure. Hallelujah. And so some people compare it by saying, while the men saw Charles Finney, the demons saw John Hyde. Hallelujah. That kind of interesting. Praise the Lord. I believe strongly that men of prayer who labor in prayer on their knees for others have greater reward than those who preach and teach. I am persuaded about that. So he's moved, again, with compassion. Same word in Matthew 14:14 and Matthew 20:34. To yearn from your inside, to long for something to happen. I wrote something here. I said, to yearn an expectation from deep within your heart, it controls your emotions throughout the day. That's to be moved with compassion. And what was he moved about? He saw that they were sheep without shepherd. See, my eyes can see responsibility. My eyes can see, or my eyes can stir me up to adventures in prayer. Glory to God. What about on your campus? You just said, well, I want the glory of God to flood this hall because something we're going to pray. There was a time in secondary school, myself and a few friends, we said we're going to pray for Muslims to be saved. That was it. And one guy who got born again, he was the head of the Muslims. Most ferocious. Remember, the first time I tried to share the gospel with him, Biola Lawal is his name. I just read this book, Who is this Allah? So I went to him, he was my friend. I said, I want to share with you what's in this book. He said, if you say it again, I will cut your head off. I never seen him speak like that. But we began to pray. One evening, we're out there. I was sharing, of course, I was talking about CNN, because they normally come to me to hear about news. Then I switched to last day's event. Rapture. Then I was an expert in rapture. I switched to Christ died. Right in the evening, was a Saturday evening. And if you want to be saved, he raised his hand. He's useful for the Lord today in Christ. This is about 28 years. You know what happened? It wasn't because I preached. It was because several of us chose to pray. Never underestimate what happens when you pray. It's not for show. It's not for the media. It's for the Spirit. So if you open your eyes, you will pray. 25 years. If you open your eyes, you will pray. If you look at things from the perspective of responsibility, you will pray. So there's agony in prayer. So it says, pray the Lord of the harvest. He's so passionate. Dehomai in the Greek. Dehomai. It's an intense request. An intense request. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers, ekmalo in the Greek, to gush them out, amplify, to force them out. Are there places you know that there are no churches, there are no people? Well, it's time to get into the adventures. It can happen here. Hallelujah. Some men have spent hundreds of years and tens of generations to pray for China. China today has the largest collection of Christians anywhere in the world. You know why? Because some people endeavor the adventures in prayer. This can happen. And then they shook their knees and got involved. Hallelujah. They've gone past those who pray for milk, sugar, and tea. They are close to the heart of God. Adventures in prayer. Oh my God, let me do what Jesus did. How about that? Said, how about that? Intense prayer. Intense. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And when that happens, you take on the emotions of the Spirit. What does that mean? You identify with the needs of the people you are praying for. You identify with the needs of the people that you're praying for. I always recommend, before you start a new walk, a church, a ministry, however, spend a year and a half or more just praying through. I always recommend you don't have to take it, but I always say, pray through. Spend a lot of time to birth that work in prayer. Engage in the spiritual realities, spiritual experiences. Ministry is not suits or grammar or oratory or the capacity to wear the life perfume and do your, no. It's a spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. And so prayer is a part of that. Are you there? Look at Acts 16. When that happens, you bear the burden of the persons that require the help. In Acts 16, verse 9, here's Paul. They were planning to go and preach. So they're planning to go and preach. And they got it figured out. They got it figured out. They had written their plans, where they were going to, how they were going to get there. They got their logistics correctly. They set the date for the fortress camp meeting. Amen. They knew who was going to sing, who was going to pray, who was going to preach. They knew the sections were set out and stuff like that. That's good. But I know that sometimes like that, you set everything out and you just think, let me pray more about this. It's a bit different. And pray more about it. What we call today the World Changers Conference that we do every year came out of prayer. As I was praying, I just saw, it was in 1997, I just saw there was a need for a kind of meeting to help younger ministers in a place of prayer, the old time retreat. I just saw it in prayer. So I kept praying for a while. 98, with I'm in Awe now, University of Ibadan, my friend. And I shared with them, I said, last year, I had this heart, desire. I didn't say God told me. You don't always have to say God told me. It's that desire. For people to come together every year. We'll pray, wait on the Lord. Just get inspired, refreshed, re-engineered for ministry. Then my friend, Pastor Doku, now he says, well, I said the same thing a while back. My friend CJ said the same thing. And one other person just called, said, well, let's go ahead, Navi. So let's call it World Changers Come. Yeah. We'll have World Changers Come. Our World Changers Come. And we'll just come there and pray. But came a year before. That was why, even after my friends and I, we fell apart. Some of them went away for a while. I continued it. You know why? Because I was the one who saw it. Praise the Lord. That's 20 years ago. Well, the only person who was there, Pastor Larry, the only person who attended the first one. That was August 1998. God forbid, Ibadan. Came out of prayer. Came out of prayer. Praise the Lord. Came out of prayer. Came out of prayer. And you look at, some of you were not even born. But you know, the needs have been said way before. Many of you were not even saved. See? See how sometimes you pray things into the future. Things into the future. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The moment I have a responsibility from the Lord, I know that responsibility means to pray more. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Get into adventure. Partner with God in His plan and purpose. Acts 16. So they got it figured out. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man. So say amen. Of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. That can happen in prayer. Say, come. The word is the parakaleo. It means to summon, to beseech. Sometimes in your spirit, you sense like someone's begging you, pleading with you. And I'm saying to many of us tonight, that your new experience for evangelism, you will have some supernatural resolve in evangelism. friend of mine shared this story with me 2 days, 3, 4, 5 days ago. They were trying to get a church venue. And they had prayed. He said, man of God, we didn't have the money. And we had prayed and prayed and prayed. And knew that God said they had prayed. He said, one morning, he had just finished praying. That's last week Thursday. He had just finished praying. And he had prayed and prayed. And they had just prayed. The Lord told him, walk into that place. An hotel in Central District. Walk and do what? Says he walked in. As he walked in, the owner of the hotel said, are you a pastor? He said, yeah. And I know you also preach Christ. He said, God told me you were coming. You need a venue? He said, this hall, I shut it for a year. I'm going to open it for you. It's fully air conditioned. You have the AC. He said, whatever you have, bring it. Anything you need. Normally, I had that place for 4 million. My friend said, well, four. 4 million, not pesewa, 4 million. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Whatever you have, you pay. He tells his colleagues in church, he said, pastor, hope it's not a vision. You know, and they started the services there already. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the place of prayer, get it? You will sense things. Direction. Paul says, he said, come and help us. Parakaleo. Pray. Say, come and help. Come and help. Come and help. Praise God. Let's all bow our heads. I just sense to do this for 1 minute. That I commend my life and ministry to the ministry of prayer. Just do that 1 minute. I begin new experiences and adventures in prayer. If you used to have it and it left you, tonight is the night to rekindle it tonight. You know, I commend my heart to adventures in prayer. Adventures in prayer. I'm not docile in prayer. I commend myself to the ministry of prayer. I don't have everything figured out, but I have everything prayed out. I don't have everything figured out, but I have everything prayed out. Amen. All right, get back there. Acts 16:9. And then he says, come and help us. So sometimes you could just have a pool of help. Some just need help. Just need help. Hallelujah. Many of our pastors today who are in church, they put out a prayer. After we prayed and waiting on the Lord for months and months, the Lord said to us, go to a certain place and do this and this. It's now 15, 16 years of something you prayed, you did not know the result years down the line. Do you know, those of you who are in fortress, do you know, the result of your praying for those people. I brought Uncle Ladini here the other day. When we met him, and he would pray. I remember I was seeing him in the morning. He's walking and praying. I'm praying for all of you because I know God's hand is upon you. Something we did not know. You cannot take away Saints Community Church from his prayer life in the 80s. You can't. Because that's what prayer does. See, if nobody sees you, God does. Preaching is for people to clap for you. Prayer is for God to commend you. I always tell you, God trusts the man who prays than the man who studies the word. But the man who studies the word eventually becomes a man of prayer. Are you there? So, sometimes in that adventure, you sense someone calling you. Calling you. I just sense it. I'm talking to you, pastor. There are things that the Lord will want you to do in your churches and cities and nations that the Lord, in the place of prayer, just say, you just sense that thing. Just a call to places you didn't even think about.
Adventures. Don't say adventures.
So don't always have everything figured out. Be open for adventures. In John 16, Jesus talked about like the birth pains of a woman. A woman travailed to give birth. Talking about his suffering. Sometimes in the place of prayer, you sense that. You sense that. And you are praying. We wanted to do something in the body of Christ, and we could. And I told, we had planned it out, somebody was in charge of it already, and I said, guys, hold on. In fact, I think we had fixed the day, somebody was supposed to travel. I said, hold on. We need to birth this thing well. There's something we're not getting. You know what? It became clear with time. Just pray. You don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. A lot of Ishmaels will be birthed because people are in a hurry. They don't want to walk by faith. So they'll give birth to Ishmael. Ishmael will grow. Ishmael will have kids. Ishmael will grow to a nation. But Ishmael was not in the plan. The fact that something succeeded in the natural doesn't make it God's plan. Always know that. And I want to warn many of us here. Don't try to copy people in the natural. What did I say? What did I say? There's no competition about it. God has not set any time for you. God hasn't set any year. It must happen this year or I will kill you. Someone once said this on television. He said, God told him to raise $200 million. $200 million. He said, God said, if you don't raise, I'll kill you. He never raised the money and he lived long. You don't have to say this. That manipulate. Don't manipulate yourself to compete with others. Hallelujah. Are you there? So say, I don't know what's going on in our ministry. I always ask tell young ministers, have you been praying and preaching? Keep doing that. But when it says something is not happening, it's because it's on Facebook. You see somebody's picture, car park, Facebook Live, the choir. You see, something is not happening in my ministry. No. You are walking in the flesh. You pray. Keep praying. Keep preaching. Maybe you don't have enough for the media, but you have enough in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You learning something? Okay, let me close on this a bit. Colossians 4, 11 and 12. That's really my text for today, Colossians 4. And I want to give you an instruction. Are you there? If you're a pastor, coordinator of the fellowship, stand up. I want to give you an instruction. Stand up. This is your instruction. Pastor, coordinator. All right, guys. All right, I'm going to give you this instruction in a moment. Colossians 4. All right, sit down. Hear this now. Oh, for everybody too, but I'm just saying. I sense to share this with them, you know, later on too, but I will start here. Colossians 4 and then verse 12. Are you there? Let's read it together. Colossians 4, 12. Let's go. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring. Look at the word always there. So say labor has no season. There's no season for it. Always laboring. The word there is the word agonizomai. Agonizomai. It means to struggle. It's the exact word in another format used for Jesus in Luke 22:44. Same word. Agony. In other words, you know, that means Paul saw Epaphras pray. See, by precept, by example, he saw Epaphras praying and he's going, And he sees how he screams on the field. He sees how he cries. He's always, see, let me say this. If you're a pastor, you will know how you love the flock by how you feel when you're praying for them. How do you feel? How do you feel? Adventures into their lives in prayer. That word means to struggle. Use 8 times. In 1 Timothy Chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. So it was 4, 7, I fought the good fight. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Colossians 1:29. Thank you. You're fighting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray for some people today. And you're going to pray for them always. Hallelujah. Something always. Always, he says. That you will stand perfect in all of the will of God. Always. So every time Paul saw Epaphras, he's praying. He's praying for John. He's praying for James. He's praying for Philip. He's praying for Thompson. He's praying. The last time I was here, this is how you were praying. Early in the morning, he's praying. He's seeing him praying. He's shaking. He's jerking. And he's praying. Because that's how, see how you feel when you pray that way? That's how God feels. Right? That's how it is. So you're having adventures in God. Yeah. Sometimes I hide how I pray from people because you will be embarrassed. Hallelujah. I'm not push at all. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be really embarrassed. What's going on? We're sharing God's passion. Adventures. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail at birth again till Christ be born. Like a giving birth to children. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Many of us need to engage in that. Amen. I wrote some things here and I just felt like instructions for us, but I'll go over some things. I'll bring them back next week, but let me just mention them. And I'm talking to you pastors as well. You see, there's some things that Jesus did that you should learn from. Remember? The Bible says, for example, that Jesus, when John was baptizing him, he was praying. So you can carry your burden, that's Luke 3:17. You can carry the burden to pray everywhere you go. While you drive. You know, it takes gist of your mind, amen. And many things like that. You're praying. Let me add one more. Look at this. You know, Jesus also, in Luke 5, that should be verse 15, he withdrew himself. You may need to do that from your wife, your husband, your children. It doesn't mean you run away, it just simply means leave the room where everybody is and go somewhere. You go to somewhere near your house. If you're in the university, you can go, you know, somewhere. There's just some time. It's just common sense to leave people and go and pray. In Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. Someone say all night. All night. Common sense. He prayed. There's just something about moving away from the crowd to pray. There's just something about that. Partly that's how I learned to pray. There's something about that. Just live in your room, live in your house, just go to a private place, and just when you can have that time, of course, you won't be disturbing anybody. I remember some folks like that, they were in our ministry then, they were praying and having, I think, Holy Ghost, and they were shouting. And everybody was saying they were disturbing them. So when I got to the house, I said, the Holy Ghost moved there. We increased our tempo. We shouted at them. I marched them round the houses to go and apologize. But I failed to tell them that I'd done the same thing 2 years before. We were hotel. Myself and my friends, 95. We were in the hotel. And we had Holy Ghost who was shouting, And the point is, we're coming back from the meetings. We'll be shouting as we heard. So the hotel manager came in. He said, "You are disturbing." I said, "We paid for our character too." I was wonderful. He said, "We paid for our character." Rubbish. So when I saw them do the same thing 2 years after, I said, "Now you go around and apologize." I didn't apologize, but they apologized. You go around and apologize. What it means is that you can take some time out. You don't have to do Daniel and open your door. All right, now, Nebuchadnezzar, where are you? Darius. Darius, where are you? No, you don't have to do that. You have to do that. Take your time out and pray. And, you know, today we have different places you can go to. Christian centers all over the country. We plan to have one soon, amen, where you can go. You just take a week, 3 days. You're a pastor. Everybody should be, amen. You just take those lives. You know, it's not until they start giving you problems. It's, see scope. You have never been scoped before. You've never done discipleship. There was somebody like that. I caught him. I said, "I know you will grow." They will do the same thing for you, Jesus Christ. I remember Kate came to me in 95, 96. She said, "Do you know, I went to his house. He didn't come at all. He was." I said, "Do you know the same thing for me? That I won't buy bread for you. You can't remember I bought bread." Ah. You know. But the truth is, don't wait until that happens. You can just take their name. Most of us have learned to pray that way when we have problems. Those are not adventures in prayer. At all. You take their name all night. And you're birthing the ministry in them. You're calling their names as you pray. You see their names will just come up. You mention their names. Some cities will come up. Some towns. Some people's problems will just come up as you pray. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you are crying. Sometimes you are screaming. Sometimes you are just sad. You are just taken over. Those are the adventures. Hallelujah. Acts 10 and close in here. Here's Peter. He's hungry. And he says, "Hey, I'm hungry. Also. I'm hungry. Yeah, get me food." You know, for some of us, I saw something in Acts 10. He's hungry. And if the Bible says he's hungry, that means he was hungry. He must have been hungry before. Let me say, I've been hungry before. It's almost like what's on your mind. Sometimes you are targeting the time the food will be ready. In 5 minutes. So you condition your stomach that in 5 minutes I'll do like this. Then he goes up to the rooftop. So that interesting thing that I saw there was that he goes up whilst he was hungry. He goes to pray. I don't know about you, but that's almost the unlikely thing that I will do when I'm hungry. He's hungry and would have eaten. He went to pray. Notice that his hunger gave way to another hunger. And that became the vision that led to the direction that the Gentiles received salvation. How about dealing with your appetite? Like, it doesn't have to be food, it could be television, it could be sex, or married couple, it could be Jesus, it could be anything. But he just overcame that immediate gratification. And there he was. A trance while he was praying. That golden vision that led to the space speaking to him, Cornelius, and go on and on and on. Adventures in prayer. What about a man like Paul? He's just how many hours in the Lord? And Jesus appears to Ananias and says, "The beyond the house of Saul of Simon, then the tanner, is a man called Saul." He prays. 3 days. A man that does this, he's a new convert. 3 days. You know what? He had adventures too. He had visions and revelations of the Lord, much of which led to who Paul became eventually. Don't miss out. See, I won't miss out. Say food, or any kind of appetite will not come in my way. I will not miss out. Praise the Lord. And you know, we can just pray. Amen. You have people you want to pray for like everyone. You have people like that? You have them? Now think about them. That's how to get vision. Think about them. Think about what you want that brother, that sister to become. Think about it. Let that become an adventure for you right now. Think about that fellow who is recalcitrant, who is renegade, who is rebellious. And say, you know what? I will pray for you. Right now, in this auditorium, let the spirit of grace and supplication overwhelm our hearts as we step into this adventure of praying out the futures of people, the future of people, the potentials available to you. Think about that, brother.